protect your boats and recreational vehicles with FBP RV and Marine antifreeze. It has burst-proof protection down to negative 50 degrees, keeping you protected against freezing temperatures. Keep your winter worry-free with FBP ready-to-use RV and Marine antifreeze now at Menards. Visit us in-store or on Menards.com and shop our great selection of automotive products. Save big money at Menards.
Everybody, welcome to the Love Era podcast. I am your host, Miss Kev on Stage, and I am joined by my husband and co-host,
the Kev on Stage.
And we have two very special guests with us today. You've probably seen them going viral on Instagram, and they have a YouTube channel as well. They talk about love, they talk about marriage, they talk about parenting, they talk about being a girl dad, all the things. And that is none other than Kiara and Noemi again.
What's up with y'all?
What's up, man? Hey, I love y'all, man. I'm so glad to meet y'all. Just black couples blackening black, man. All right.
I'm here for it.
Black together, man. All this blackness just blackening.
Really super excited to have you guys join us. If you're new to the Love Hour, we often talk about life, love, and the pursuit of happiness, but we are not experts. And so we just offer everything from our perspective and our experience. But listen, sometimes you might have real life marriage issues. Speaking of which, just an aside quickly, is that I'm thinking about, if you know a therapist who can talk to helping couples in really bad spots, I want to do that podcast episode. It's top of mind right now. I've been looking for a therapist that could literally offer or offer steps or suggestions. Yeah, that could help couples get out of a really bad spot. Please let me know. Send them my way. I'm interested. So anyway, I've reached out to the Gaines because they're black, they're a couple, they're young folk, we're young-ish. So we just gonna talk about—
When we can't stop saying young, how many more years we got? How old are y'all, Kiara and Noemi?
Come on, man. So I'll be 35 in a few weeks.
A month. And I'll be 32 in July.
What you calculating? What?
I'm trying to see how long I got left to be young. I feel like once I done crossed over 40, that's it probably. That's middle age.
I say you can claim young for like your 40, but you got to do it like anecdotally, like Hov, dude. Like, got to call you something young kid. Don't say I'm a young guy because that's going to look
fool. Definitely not. Listen. Kids in high school, you really can't be young, young.
Yeah, you can't be young, young.
Is Tabitha Brown young?
Tabitha Brown's an auntie, no matter her
age.
That's
true. Tab probably sounded like that when she was 12.
Yeah.
Like, hello there. I'm going to sixth grade.
Yeah, she's just Tab's a forever auntie. She's just, it doesn't matter how old she is.
Tab, I wasn't laughing at you. I was laughing at Kev because it was the inflection in his voice. I wasn't laughing at you. You're gonna make her get all us for that.
Yes. So to start off, and for those of you who may not be familiar with Noemi and Kiara, please tell us your love story. This is always one of my favorite portions, talking to couples, talking about how you met, who said what to whom, whose version is wrong, whose version is correct.
Anybody who follows our Instagram or YouTube, first off, what's up to all our followers, all our subscribers, what's up, family? They know that I hate this story because she used every opportunity she can to tell this story.
So tell it.
So how about this? You tell it and I'll pitch in with the parts that are a little zhuzhed up.
Okay.
I'll start. So.
The year was 1932.
You know what? You see? Why don't you do it?
I'm sorry.
Okay. So we met, what year was it? Like 2014? Summer 2014?
That sounds about right.
Yeah. I think it was around that time, and one of my best friends from college, she lived in Atlanta at the time, and she was driving up to New York, and she had to stay in D.C., and for some reason, she just had a whole bunch of friends in the D.C. area. She's just like that popular, I guess, kind of girl.
Citation, we were all in a group me together, not her, but me and her friend, and in a group me, there's a group chat,
okay.
And she was coming up, everybody was meeting.
Yeah, so we ended up going to some bar in DC. I don't even think it's open anymore. And she dragged me out. At the time I was in law school, I wasn't trying to go anywhere, but I ended up going to this bar. So wait, how real are we gonna
It was the realest real, no way. Don't come over here giving us no watered down version.
One of his friends approached me at first at the bar, and you know, we were just talking. He offered to buy me a drink. It wasn't really that serious. So then I see Kier come in. And Kier, like, I mean, most of us were like dressed down. He was like in a bow tie. Like, he had clearly just come from, like, it looked like a good job. What are we here for? So I'm like clearly interested. And I'm talking to my friend. I'm like, who's that? She's like, oh, that's homeboy's friend. And I'm like, so are they close? Or are they close? Close.
How close are they?
I didn't give the guy my number, so I'm like, I think I'm safe. So I actually took the initiative and introduced myself and was like, I'm gonna make sure I talk to him first. So, you know, we're talking a little bit. He's not really giving me, like, paying me much attention. I don't know why. You can interject.
That was your cue. You can run it back so you don't miss it this time.
Right, because all the women watching now are looking at me like, sir. So it was summertime in DC, and I was very much single.
Okay.
And in DC, like, summertime is like for day parties and brunches. Yeah. You can meet 10, 15, not saying I would, because I'm a man of discretion, maybe one or two, but women in the night. And when you see everybody, women in the night. Women in
a night. Women in couple night. Them is two. That word is key. It's a big difference.
It's true.
Not a transaction. But no, you meet a lot of people. So when you see everybody, sometimes you don't see nobody. And people until you get to meet him. She was a very cute face.
He said I looked like I was a child. He said I looked young.
She looked a little young.
That's because black don't crack.
That's on what?
I know. Carry it over.
Long story short, I'm trying to get his attention. He's not really paying attention to me. And we ended up, by the end of the night, we're like a smaller group, and we end up going to another bar. And I think that's when you finally start talking to me.
Yeah.
And you know, at the bar? Yeah, at the second bar. And then we exchanged numbers. Nothing ended up happening. I think you had texted me. Oh, yeah, you said, what is it? What you doing text? And I never responded. I'm like, ugh, we just met. And
that was me?
Yes, that was you. That was you.
I don't recall.
Of course.
I don't recall.
See, this is where the story get real murky. Because that girl didn't tell him. And then he didn't call me for months.
He never texted me back. And then I think a month later, we were at another, like, we were at, what is that, Flip Cup. Yeah, it was a Flip Cup tournament.
Okay.
And we ended up playing each other. So I knew who he was. He had no idea who I was.
Oh,
did not remember me from the month before. And he over here flirting. And I'm like, okay, I'm about to go. And he's like, oh, let me get your number. And I'm like, sir.
Here. I thought you was only meeting one or two. That's 15 and 20 behavior.
It was a good summer, man.
But I got him. Yeah. And then we ended up like connecting. Like, I think our first conversation was like 4 hours long. Mm-hmm. Our first date was an all day date. It took a while for us to finally, you know, get it together. It took about a year of like the whole back and forth and figuring out what we wanted to be. But you know,
wait, no, Amy, it's a few parts that's kind of missing out of that story. Like Noemi and I, we went on she invited me to her house at one time for a party. And it's like, hey, you know, come to my house, we got food. And I didn't know it was a secret opportunity for her friends to see whether or not I was, you know, I could pass the litmus test.
Yeah.
And I get there and she gets all squeezy and touchy and filly and kissing all up on me. I just came to enjoy a good party and some good food. With some people I ain't know.
So what's the purpose of it?
And then like she's like, hey, when everybody, you know what I'm saying? When everybody leaves, slide through.
No, Amy girl.
I fell asleep.
Fell asleep.
And he was there knocking on the door. I was knocked out.
I hit her like, hey, you up? And I didn't get nothing. I was like, turned around and somberly went back home. Yeah, but like our relationship story is literally like a girl who thought this dude was you know, nice looking or whatnot. She shot her shot first.
Yeah.
And she came at me kind of like aggressively, you know? She pushed a chair into the back of my leg to get my attention.
I did everything I could to get him to turn around. It worked.
I am, first of all, super intrigued by the story of Noemi being the more aggressive person.
Shoot your shot, ladies.
Yeah, absolutely. Shoot your shot.
Yeah.
And what's even better is her friend, when she asked, like, who is that dude right there with the bow tie? First off, I wasn't making no money. I was working in a community. I was doing the work of the Lord, but I wasn't making no scratch. So, yeah, I was a well-decorated broke man. And, you know, she...
Don't play my
friend. Nah. Oh, nah, but she was like, oh, who's that right there? And she was like, oh, his name is Kier. He's a hoe.
None of this makes sense.
Yeah. Like, we shouldn't be here.
But here we are.
So, okay.
Wow.
Hold on. Okay. This, first of all, it doesn't make sense at all. So this happened for about a year before you guys officially started dating?
Yeah. So like I said, I was in law school. The whole plan was to move to New York. Like, this was just my little time in DC.
Supposed to be a pit stop.
Yeah, it was supposed to be a pit stop. And right, I think a couple of months after we met, I actually moved to Europe for like this study abroad program. So I was there for a couple of months. So I wasn't really looking for anything serious, but I will say, like, by the time that I left, we were like talking every day. Like, I knew it was gonna turn into something, but I think we were both really hesitant because we didn't really know where we would be, like, within the next year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nah, she came in like, you know, when you're dating and you're in your 20s, when you first meet people, and I'll speak from a male's perspective. I'll speak from kids' perspective.
Yes.
You meet a woman, first thing she says is, hey, I'm not looking for anything serious.
Right.
And she really means that until she doesn't.
Yeah.
You know? And Noemi meant that, and she meant that, and well, she good, yeah. meant that. And I got really comfortable in that space, and then she didn't mean that.
Yeah. I came back from Europe. I'm like, you my man. I love you. What are we? We're going to be together.
Wait, you're my man, I love you.
Wait, before we go deeper into this conversation, we're talking about love and relationships, and sometimes some of us need help in the area of love and relationships, and so that often means that you need an outside party with expert experience to come in and help you navigate your life, your love life, or maybe social anxiety issues or stress issues or confidence issues or whatever the case may be. And that is why BetterHelp, spelled BetterHelp, is here to help you. Everybody knows that on this podcast, Kevin has a therapist.
Yes.
I have a therapist that I actually need to hit up like right now. She actually not DM me. What is it called? Like text through the app me message this morning. You. Sure, message me. I have no idea what the right words are. This morning, which is one of the great features. You can text your therapist through the app. They can respond. It's a 24-hour service. They have people literally across the world in order to help you no matter what is going on in your life. This is one of those things that is great. You can start communicating in under 48 hours. This is not a crisis line. It is not self-help. It is a professional counselor done securely, and it is done online. If you're interested, you can go to visit betterhelp.com/lovehour.
Love Hour.
BetterHelp, H-E-L-P, and join over the 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. In fact, so many people have been using BetterHelp that they are recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states. This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp, and the Love Hour listeners will get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/lovehour.
Love Hour, yeah.
And Kier's actually a licensed therapist.
I was going to say that. I thought that you were.
Kier, are you a licensed therapist?
I said that to Kevin. I was like, I'm pretty sure that he is. Okay. So hold on, let's back up just one little bit. I want to kind of just kind of discuss this point. Have you always been the shoot your shot girl?
Yeah.
Really?
I have.
And at shooting guard from Emory University. No way, you came. Shooting from half, girl, the game ain't started yet. I'm pulling up.
Overhand, not even underhand. Yeah.
I never looked at it that way, but I am absolutely that. If I want something, I'm going to, why not?
I am here for it. So
I am too.
I think it's amazing. I think there is something to be said about a woman who knows what she wants and is going after it and not waiting. You know, social media is always talking about being chose. Well, child, I can do some choosing as well. And that doesn't have to change the dynamics of the relationship.
It doesn't.
You know, where you're, I don't think it has to change that, but I do think that making it known that you're interested, I think that that's okay.
The Bible says he who findeth a wife findeth a good thing. It didn't say you can't introduce yourself.
Correct.
You know what I'm talking about? Peekaboo, hello, you fell? You weren't hiding. Anybody said I had to be hiding. I saw you looking, here I am. You understand me? I ain't gotta make it hard for you. I'm at base.
Nah, that's real talk though. And like that way you can actually, you're not just reduced to whatever men decide they have the courage to come up and speak to you. Like rejection is hard for everybody.
Bruh.
Yeah, I appreciate that. It makes me feel desired. I did not reject you, boo. I didn't reject. It was a period of time where we did not talk. See, now it sounds like I'm lying because I'm pausing too much in between all words.
No, you just didn't reject her. You just forgot about her. That you had her number already. That's all.
That you had her
when she texted you and it came back. Maybe Noemi. That wasn't like, hold on.
Right. Wait, what? In the phone. Maybe you met her 60 days ago.
Remember at the, what if iPhone was like, Kia, we met her at the bar. You had the bow tie on. You was
that hands up would have been nice. Would have stopped me from making a fool of myself.
Right. Right.
It was a short moment though. Like we laughed about it. We ended up laughing about it. Cause like even though like, it took a while, we weren't exclusive for a while. So like I was dating other people, he was dating other people. So it's like, okay, if you're not gonna call me, then I'm gonna go out with somebody else. And like that's what it was for a year.
Yeah.
So okay, so from the moment you guys met till you guys got married, how much time is that?
Oh man. Wait, so we got together in 2015, we got pregnant in 2016, got engaged in 2017. Got married in 2019.
So 4 years.
4 years. Yeah, 4 years.
Microwave that joint.
Yes. And then, but you weren't exclusive that whole time. So you were exclusive, well, exclusive a year later?
After the baby, though, or no?
Oh, yeah, before the baby.
I thought y'all would like have a baby and you still dating other people. Like, hold on now. We don't feel like that.
4 years when we got pregnant.
Yeah. So the funny thing is, we broke up. We found out we were pregnant in December. We almost broke up in October.
Yeah.
I went over our house to break up with her and it didn't work, but that was the goal coming in the door.
You gotta explain that. You can't just, what do you mean it didn't work?
I went over, we were just bumping heads. Realistically,
she couldn't do it. That's what it was.
She couldn't do it either, but she was willing to hold on a little longer than I was.
Couldn't do the exclusive relationship?
No, the breakup. By this time we were exclusive. Oh.
Got it.
Then we broke up. Well, we almost broke up again. Didn't break up and found out we were pregnant like a couple weeks later.
Got it.
So then we had to get our stuff together real quick.
Get it together.
Woo!
It took some time. It took a lot of therapy, but we got it together.
Yeah. It just wasn't the most opportune time because I just decided that I like her enough to try liking her enough again.
Right. And,
hey, guess what, y'all? I know what's going on here, but y'all gonna be stuck together for life in some way. So do with it what you will, but this is what's coming. Yeah. And man, that baby.
She came quick.
She came quick. She came when we were very unprepared.
Yeah.
And now you guys have been married for a little over a year. A little over a year. So first of all, congratulations on 1 year of matrimony, especially during a pandemic.
Oh man, talk about it, man. That thing different, ain't it?
I believe the pandemic, later in life, we're going to have to add exponential years to the pandemic, because the amount of time spent together during quarantine is infinitely more than during like normal life. And that's kids. Like, I travel a lot for work. Melissa and I traveled a lot. Even outside of that, right? Even if we were just working 9 to 5, you gone from before 9 until after 5. Right. You include travel and you drop your kids off. Like, we had not spent that much time. And I mean people of the human race.
Right.
We had not spent 24 hours a day with people for months on end in ever. I'm talking about in the history of our lives, not when we were children, not in teens, not in marriage. That was an exponentially more amount of time. And that, right, the divorce rate was crazy.
Yeah.
People were like, I don't like you at 24 hours a day from 6 to 8:30. You know, we sleep at 10. Okay.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
24 hours a day, every day, no vacation, no nothing, no side chick, just you. No, that's what people were saying. Like, I need all this other stuff to make it work. I need time away from you. I need my work. I need movies. I need haircuts. I'm not talking about me, the side chick.
You just got a lot of extraness in this whole like explanation and like.
You know, I ain't got no side chick, girl.
You just keep. We don't need all this.
No, I ain't got to bring it home. He's not bringing. He's trying to land that plane. I see where he was going with it.
It's been landed. We deboarded. You waiting for the next group of passengers.
We only got half the people.
I got to go back for just a moment because our Patreon audience is saying that we need to know, why were y'all breaking up and what made you guys decide to, or what made Kier decide to propose?
Damn, good questions.
You can answer the breakup question. I ain't come over nowhere to break up.
Yeah, Norman said, first of all, let's get the facts straight.
Man, at the time, we just didn't know each other that well. I mean, you know, what's knowing each other that well looking back? But we didn't know how to talk to each other.
Communication was bad.
Yeah, and you know how people always talk about communication in a relationship, but like, what on earth does that really mean? Because I can lay out my heart to somebody, but if I'm not speaking it in a language or in a manner that they can pick up and practically use, I'm practically wasting my time. And I think it's the frustration of trying to tell her like, hey, like, this is how I'm talking to you, and not seeing any receipts that she picking up anything that I'm saying. Cause I ain't know her well enough to speak her language. Mm-hmm. I ain't know her well enough to throw it in a direction that she could easily catch it. So it was that frustration and me being fresh off of being single. And the thing about being single is, if you really don't want to put up with nobody, you really don't have to. You can cut the cord at any point. And I was like, you know what? Cutting the cord. I'm tired of arguing. I'm tired of it.
And
it be going like too much. I don't want to.
Listen, I have a question. Do you have, based on what you've learned since then, do you give or have advice for newly married or newly engaged couples based on what you experienced? What would you tell them that are like, we're fighting like cats and dogs, communication is not communicating? Like, what advice do you have for them?
I got two I can think of off the top.
Okay.
One, book yourself a session with either premarital or a marriage counselor. Someone who can walk you through all of your thoughts and all of your feels. We went to our first session before we got married, and he was like, all right, what's going on in your relationship? And by the time we finished the session, he had a whole paper full of our resentment toward one another. Mm-hmm. We didn't even see. We had no idea that was even on the table. Yeah. So go see a counselor. If it's a religious-based counselor, I think that's a good idea as long as you both share that faith. But I will also urge you to see, if you see a religious counselor, go and see someone who's certified outside of the religious realm for it as well, so they can apply all the modalities.
Why do you say that, Kier?
Just because there are, I'm sorry, and with sometimes with the religious counseling training, a lot of it is steeped in whatever doctrine they're on. So let's say a Christian counselor, Christian-based counselor. They're, from my understanding, maybe everyone can correct me if I'm wrong, but a portion of their studies is dedicated to training them on how to take stories from the Bible and mirror them to the issues that you're having in your relationship to kind of give you a pathway. But the training that I went through has different multicultural and different like little nuances in the training that just takes you in a different step. The step that the religious counselors maybe don't have time for when they're
to be honest, the training, legit. The actual training, I 100% agree with you. Kevin and I did do marriage counseling as well with our pastor, and this is no shade or disrespect, but they just quite literally don't have the training behind them to do, as you were talking about, the different multicultural facets, the skill sets, the knowledge, the psychology, the behavioral based aspects of it. They just don't have it. And again, I literally mean that without any shade or disrespect to pastors that offer marital counseling, but I do think there is something so important about going to someone that is clinical and licensed to do it. I think you just get a different perspective.
Yeah, that's what I was beating around the bush trying to say.
That's why I wanted to just say it for you to be clear, you know, because
I didn't want the pastors in my inbox being mad.
Right. I know. I already, and listen, y'all can at me. I said it with my chest.
Number two, surround yourself with some good married friends. When I say good, I don't mean people who have like picturesque marriages. I mean people who have great functional marriages and people who have marriages where there are issues present and they're working on them. I always get scared when I see people who don't have, that look like they don't have any issues in their marriage. Mm-hmm. That's always a little bit of a red flag for me. But people who like openly lean into their issues and talk about how they solve them, they always give you great insight on some of the stuff that's going on in your own relationship.
That's so good. Someone, Allison said, you can find a Christian counselor that isn't a pastor. Absolutely, 100%. And I would recommend that over going to like your pastor, finding someone who can speak to you on the moral grounds from which you stand, but also have those legitimate credentials behind them as well. Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's good, girl. That's good. I was going to say something. You guys have had a lot of lives in your marriage, in your relationship.
Yeah,
I was going to title this episode The Transitions of Marriage because, and actually I feel like it's even more appropriate now because you have had like a lot of transition. And then if you think about just the pandemic in general and what that did, I know, Kier, you left your job, actually it was late last year, right? October, November of last year?
Well, officially left my job January 8th. That was my last
year. Oh, this year.
Yeah, this year.
You've been talking about it since November?
Talking about it hard since maybe mid-December.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So when you was going viral, you had to go to work?
Man, listen. Wow. I had like celebrities calling like, hey, it's like, man, I like what you're doing. I'm like, hey, I got to get on this Microsoft Teams meeting, bro. I'm going to be right back.
Man, it was the craziest.
Be Hollywood online, one in line, two, it'd be an angry parent whose kid didn't get paid this week from a job program I was running. Like, oh,
it ain't even his fault.
Man.
Can't even do it.
So wait, before we go into that, because I do want to have that conversation of like, how y'all made that transition. Like, let's talk about it. But before we do, he was talking about line one and line two. And oftentimes the girls for women are line one and line two, and they don't always be on one accord. They be different sizes.
Okay, transition.
Hey, segue, I love it. Let's get it. Come on.
Independent agenda. I'm gonna go this way. Well, I'll see you on the other side. Maybe I won't.
Correct. Maybe I won't, but that's okay because Third Love is here to help you no matter if you got twins, sisters, cousins, or a strange family.
Sometimes y'all be having fraternal twins. Sometimes they're identical. Sometimes they don't see eye to eye.
And that's okay.
Nipple to nipple. And that's all right. And it'll make it, no, never mind. They ain't got to be the same size.
And let's normalize that.
Normalize different titties.
And Third Love is here to help you. Whether you're double A all the way up to I, bands from sizes 30 to 48, Third Love has a bra that is going to fit perfectly fitted for you. They just launched the fitting program, a new and improved version of their Fit Finder quiz that we all know and love that focuses on size, breast shape, and current fit issues and your personal style to deliver bras and underwear that are perfect
bras for and here. Bras and draws, ladies and gentlemen.
Meet their newest collection, the Ombre Mesh, a collection worth obsessing over. Throwback look, modern feel, silky layered mesh gets the vintage treatment in their timeless new collection. And I love just a really, you know, you got to have, don't give me a lot of fluff, a lot of extraness. Just give me, do the job and let's move on. Third Love knows, I always use the t-shirt bra. Everyone knows that pretty much all of my bras in my collection are from Third Love. I love their deep taupey nude color because it is the color of my nude, which is not peach. There's no pink here. Okay, let's all be clear. And so I do love that they have a wide variety of nudes that will fit any shade of or any complexion that you have. Third Love knows there's a perfect bra for everyone. So right now they're offering my listeners 20% off your first order. Go to thirdlove.com/lovehour.
Love hour.
Now to find your perfect fitting bra and get 20% off your first purchase. That's thirdlove.com/lovehour.
Love hour.
For 20% off today. I'm woeing like.
You're just woeing out of control.
I feel like I'm she up there.
Just been woeing. Nobody can stop.
There's a why, and then it like narrowed in. I like that. Who touched that?
Feel effect, and then you got it.
Like an anime character.
That's so funny. Okay, so y'all been talking about it for a while. This is the real question, Kier. You said it verbally aloud. Seriously, you said like in October of last year.
Yeah, I said like November-ish.
You were out by January. How long was it ruminating in your mind prior to you saying something aloud?
Ruminating?
Not as long as you would think. So
it was like a joke a year ago.
Yeah.
Like it was like, wouldn't that be crazy if you could just quit your job? That ain't never gonna happen.
Yeah, I fought really hard to get this job. Like, it was great job, great pay, great benefits, great position.
Government
job. Government job, yeah. All those fields. I was good. I was safe.
Hey, by the way, Pierre.
Huh?
What were you doing for a living?
Working for the school system, working in special education, building work programs for students with disabilities so that they can have good job training, transition over into adult life, grant them that opportunity for a successful life.
So rewarding work as well.
Yeah, very rewarding work. Getting to work with students with disabilities and see how capable they are, seeing how much their families support them and seeing how much they can do when you put some support behind them and some resources. Mm-hmm. But everything just kind of really blew up in August. I think I had 50,000 followers on Instagram, and then like the viral video happened and it just swelled up, and we're like
2 days later it was like 250.
Yeah, it's like 250. Like,
I was following you guys doing that. Yeah.
Yeah, and it was crazy. Phones were ringing off the hook.
Sponsorship deal.
Yeah.
We went from like having our little, you know, YouTube video, a couple people sprinkle in, watch it here and there, to like.
AKA your cousin in now.
Yeah, pretty much.
That was the and them.
Mm-hmm. Right, yeah. Right, literally.
That HBO thing, and then people hit me like, can you get me in with Kier? I'm like, bro, I barely met Kier. My old self, I can't get you in. I'm not in.
The HBO thing was crazy because when I logged on first, I'm like, oh man, I ain't about to be late. I logged in because they reached out, had the viral video. And as soon as I got in there, I think Jesse Williams was the first guy in there. And he looked at me right in the camera. He's like, hey, what's up, kid? You had a crazy week, huh? I was like, oh, I'm famous. I was like, yeah, man, you know, it's just, you know, another week. Yeah, man. Jess.
Freaking out.
So, it was, so it hasn't been in my mind that long. From August to now, hasn't been that long of a time period, but just with like speaking opportunities and like brand partnerships, and we got management shortly after that happened. So we had representation and opportunities were coming in a different way. I passed my licensing exam for counseling. Yeah. So It was a leap of faith, don't get me wrong, but the opportunities were to a point, I want to sit around December, I'm like, hey, babe, like, I can make more money if I quit this job.
Yeah. Right.
Dang.
And then I was like, do it.
Yeah. I was going to ask, what was your response?
I had to push him.
Yeah.
I feel like I was the one that had to push him, like, babe, like, what are you doing? Like, what are you doing?
What are you afraid of?
Yeah, like, what are you afraid of? You know, and I think, like, we just had that really serious conversation. For me, it was him passing the exam and then our brand kind of going in the mental health space. And I'm like, this makes sense. Like, you're not even working in what you got your degree in. This is an opportunity for you to not only work that, maybe even open up your own private practice, mm-hmm. but, like, you're becoming known for, like in this mental health space, like, why not do it now? Like, I'm still working, you know what I mean? So, like, we can do this right now.
For those who don't know, Kier, can you walk us through that video and, like, how it went from just, like, I feel like you were just walking in the neighborhood and next thing you know, you were everywhere. Can you walk us through what happened and what the subject matter was?
I remember when Jill Scott posted it too.
Yeah, I saw it 8 million times. Everybody was like, Kev, what you think? I was like, I'm crying. I ain't gonna make no video. What you think? I feel the same thing you feel. But yeah, walk us through what happened and kind of the tenets of the video.
Yeah, sure. So the video is just a 2 minute clip of my YouTube blog. So we have a YouTube blog, Kier and Them. Follow us on YouTube, Kier and Them. But on the vlog, it was just a day in the life. It was my daughter's birthday party. We were in South Carolina. It was a nice pool and her hair was a mess. And I got her dressed and I'm like, babe, I got to close out this vlog. I'm about to leave y'all too loud. I'm trying to get monetized. So it was too much music. I don't pledge the pee taking it. But nah, so I'm walking down and I was talking to the camera and I just wanted to say, hey, like, this is dope. My baby just turned another age. And I just started thinking about fatherhood and it just kind of rolled into this conversation about how the men that were before us were raised by the men that were before them and how those men saw warm love. They didn't express those things that way back then, and just urging new fathers, like, before you go and try to take on a family, you know, you see my cute family and we got all the nice pictures and black love, hashtag all that. But before you try to take that on, make sure you go and see somebody like a professional therapist to take care of the trauma that you've been through so that you can be more available to those people and most importantly, be more available to yourself. I wasn't even going to post that joint because I thought I was talking too much. And she came in the basement and was like, babe, no, post it. So we posted to the vlog and ain't nobody cared. And like, I posted it to my Instagram and I think, who reposted it? Was it like, I think Angela Simmons reposted this. Yeah, this was like a year ago. Yeah. And I was like, Angela Simmons reposted
this. This was 2019.
Yeah.
2019.
Now 2018. I don't know. Either way, a year later, I reposted on my Instagram. Shout out to my man, Muhammad. He was like, hey, if ever your Instagram goes dead, repost the old video and just put captions under it.
Yeah.
I was like, what? And I did it. And
life changed.
That was it, you know?
Purpose content.
It's the best.
Kev on Stage Masterclass. Just because it ain't go the first time don't mean it won't go the second.
Also, remember when you put closed captions, it also helps the deaf and hard of hearing community. So it's always good to get those in too. But yeah, I did that, went to sleep and woke up like, baby, Jill Scott just reposted you. I was like, what? And I look and just like followers on followers on followers on followers.
It just didn't end. It just kept going. Wow.
Listen, man, I'm telling you, it hit such a nerve, but not in like a bad way. Because I do a podcast with my son right here in this room. We used to do it at the office, but we just be chilling now. And people be like, yo, I never had this with my dad. And a lot of them are not like, I did not have a dad. Right, my dad just wasn't light and playful and huggy and things like that. It was all, it's right here. It was all, you know, he provided and he took care of the, you know, bills. He took care of us, but he wasn't like, good morning, good night. And some people be commenting like, it's really, I feel a way, not negatively, but it's just like, it's weird to see someone else be like that with their son because I didn't have that. You know, I remember one of the first times, and I didn't learn this lesson early, but I wish I did. I had a video of Nick and my sons. It was actually after a tragic thing happened. but I'm trying to be dead serious. And they both come hop in my lap and they just start kissing one after the like that, right? So then I remember in the comments, somebody was like, that's why his son's gonna be soft because they be kissing him. And I was like, y'all need love. Y'all need help. Yeah. You see something in this video that you either miss or is hurting you. And that's gonna be tough for you to have your own kids who you're basically more than likely gonna repeat that same cycle if you don't, you know, if you don't unlock why you feel that way. And that's why I feel like your video resonated with a lot of people because they were like, bruh, yes, right. I need to get right, or I missed this in my life.
And I see that now. I think with men, there's like a renaissance of thought and emotion right now. Where I think dudes are starting to wake up to the idea of strength and flexibility. You know what I'm saying? I always say, like, pound for pound, silk is stronger than steel. You know what I'm saying? The strength is in the flexibility. The strength is in the ability to be like, man, hey, that hurt. That hurt. I still got these hands, but I got these feels too. Like, that hurt. And yeah. I think the more you admit that, the more you open yourself up to accepting things that aren't traditionally masculine. Like, what's masculine about walking around mad all the time because you can't say I'm hurt right now?
So you know?
This comedian, I believe it was Carlos Miller, he said, Your man got hurt, got his heart broken at 20 and died at 54 of a stroke because he couldn't deal with that pain. And he had nobody to talk to. Like, it's manly to be strong, but there's strength and weakness.
Yeah.
Melissa and I have been married 16 years, almost 20 years together, almost 21 actually.
Yeah.
And this last year, I realized strength, as I thought it was, which was, I don't show no feeling, I'm not afraid of nothing, that wasn't gonna fly anymore. In order for our relationship to progress to the next level, it was gonna be weakness and vulnerability was a side of me that was going to be required in order for us to keep going. That sense of masculinity with no weakness, it wasn't gonna cut it no more.
And it's
even the way that we define strength. We define strength as like our perseverance through difficult circumstances and whatever's left of us. You know what I'm saying? Whatever's left of us after we go through whatever we gotta go through is strength. You know, what don't kill me only makes me stronger, and you end up weathered in a way that doesn't allow you to enjoy your life to the fullest potential. And I see guys come into the office where you gotta put that mask on of perceived strength. You know, and it's just well-decorated brokenness.
Mm-hmm. Pierre, if this was Clubhouse, I would be saying you dropping gems.
If I can interrupt for a second.
What mic? Well-decorated bro. If you was a pastor, you could have a sermon series on well-decorated brokenness.
I know about it. You know what I'm saying? That's why I like being a therapist who's walking this path and sharing my experiences, like, and even talking to my wife and seeing, like, that's me. I'm not cured of it. I still have broken pieces that I'm putting back together.
Walking heavy, sir. Yes, doc.
So yeah. I have a question. What is your, I love when you said we define strength as whatever's left over. Mm-hmm. And that's really nothing more, that's weathered. So What is your definition? How do you define strength? And how do you communicate that to men who define strength as all the things that we've just previously stated?
Good question.
This wasn't in our notes, y'all, so I kind of put them on.
Silky kill me with the silk is stronger than steel.
I learned it from my fraternity, man. I mean, Omega Psi Phi Fraternity Incorporated, by the way.
I knew you were not going to be able to not say it once you said that. I knew you were going to have to let people know which one it was.
So sorry for that.
I know it's all right, brother. You crossed and burning sands.
Hey man, I'm gonna let people know. But you know, I feel like strength is the ability to be morally sound and fight to be comfortable with yourself and lean into the things that will eventually make you a better person, even though you don't want it. That's strength to me. Because we kind of come from this, like, all the dudes we look up to are rappers and athletes growing up. And I was, she was just listening to me listen to an athlete's podcast today. You know, it was good, good game, tough to overcome. There was some circumstances like, bro, your leg just got severed. Like, you know what I'm saying? Or the musicians, I never took a loss in my life. We don't really get to see the vulnerable parts of successful men. You never get to see it. So I think it's one of those you can't be what you can't see type things. Yes. And you need to see somebody else put it out there. He's not corny. And he's not trying to get a dollar off of you by selling some corny book at the end of the day. And he's not trying to get a dollar off you by selling some corny seminar by the end of the day. But just somebody sharing like, hey, I'm a Black man. Yeah, and it's real rap. What happens?
Oh, I love, love, love this. Noemi, I'm going to ask you a question on this. Actually, I'll ask it now, and so you can get your mind together. Do you feel in Kier's journey of vulnerability, do you feel that you've played a role in helping him or pushing him get there? Does my question make sense? To put it plainly, is it something that maybe he didn't recognize he needed to do, and you kind of demanded it from him?
You can write a whole book.
Okay. Hold on. Let me do my situation.
Hold that thought, Noemi.
All right. So listen, Kiara's up in here dropping all the gems. Okay. He's clearly learned. He is a learned individual, and he has a lot of skills. And we want you to be a learned individual with lots of skills. And that's why we want to introduce you to
Skillshare.
I thought you were going to miss your cue. You almost did. No matter what 2021 brings, you can spend it creating something meaningful, creative, doing the things that you want to do, taking the leap of faith as Kier has done, tapping into your creativity with the online classes that Skillshare offers through their learning community that offers membership with meaning. We have taken
Skillshare original Instagram illustration, Making Shareable Art for Social Change by Danielle Koch. This is one of the ones right on the main page, because you know, as influencers, we gotta basically be efficient in our social media. And for me and Melissa, Instagram is our number one platform. So obviously this is our trade. So we gotta make sure we up our skills. And this class, this Instagram illustrations class, Skillshare originals, is stepping up our game. Melissa, if you notice, her Instagram game has changed a lot over the last 6 months. Mm-hmm. from basically, you know, nothing really, like no brand, to an aesthetic, to photos, to this. And now she's adding graphics packages all from this Instagram illustration class from Danielle Koch.
Right now you can get an annual subscription for less than $10 a month. You're going to go to skillshare.com/lovehour and you will get a free trial premium membership. That's free. That's premium. That's membership. skillshare.com/lovehour
An
annual subscription is less than $10 per month. Okay.
Bow chicka bow.
I'm proud of you out here. That was smooth. That was smooth.
Okay, so Noemi, it's because I keep looking at it. I know.
It has the accent thing over there, but I don't know.
If I just say what I know in my heart, I'll say it right.
Oh, that's a good word.
It is a good word.
That's a good word. You're dropping gems.
Noemi. Okay, the question is, in the search or the journey of vulnerability for Kier, do you feel like you've played a role or something that maybe you have demanded of him?
Yes and no.
Okay.
So I'll be honest, the demanding of him is the part that is iffy, only because like it just kind of happened. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't think it was something that I actively knew to do. I think it's as we kind of went through our things in the relationship. I mean, we bumped heads a lot. The whole vulnerability piece didn't really come into play till like recently, you know? So I think like him even sharing with me, I remember this moment because it was a huge moment for me. It was the first time that he said I hurt his feelings. I know when we get into it, I go below the belt, I say some things out.
Who at me?
Doesn't respond. No. I didn't think it hurt him. I didn't think it hurt him. You know, I didn't think it hurt him. Even the way that we responded to each other, I think there were times where he didn't think that I was hurt as well. Mm-hmm. You know, so it wasn't until, you know, he sat me down and he's like, babe, like, like, you really hurt my feelings when you said this. When I tell you, my immediate reaction was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. What did I do? I take it back. What do I got? It was such a huge moment in our relationship because I thought we had love. I thought we were good, but it wasn't until then that I realized he didn't feel safe with me. Mm. I wasn't cultivating a safe space for him to tell me how he felt. And him doing that also showed me that, like, I wasn't actively doing it, nor was I seeking safety in our relationship. Like, no one told me that that's what you needed. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know that until we had those moments. And even then, we acknowledged that we needed to be more vulnerable, but it still took, you know, a couple sessions, you know, some time to find the language to say it in moments where, you know, it don't always come out so smooth. So yes, I will definitely say that, like, what I wanted or what, how I grew in a relationship inspired or at least gave him an opportunity and a space to be more vulnerable in the relationship. But I can't sit here and say that I knew what I was doing.
Let me say something to you. And let me tell you something, Noemi, because you really just hit a chord. This weekend on Valentine's, okay? We got a hotel, Valentine's, okay? We got a hotel, you know what I'm saying? A little staycation. We could not work, right? But we had one day that was like, all right, Sunday, it's minimal work. It's going to be me and you, right? So Melissa, she tells me, hey, I'm going to go help Angel, our homegirl. I'm going to help her decorate her set, right? Let me tell you what I said and what I was really communicating. What I said was, dang, girl, you got to be everywhere for everybody, but, you know, oh, no, you got to, what would I say? You got to go help Angel?
Yeah.
You, dang, like, she could do it herself. Something along those lines, right? You did this for Danny, blah, blah, blah. You got to go do this today, right? What I was trying to communicate, and what I had to go back and say is.
Because I said.
What'd you say? Because this is good.
I stopped him right then. What I'm really, really working on, and it kind of goes to this conversation of vulnerability, is that there's always a meta message.
Meta message, double M.
And we just did the review on Malcolm and Marie.
Yeah.
And cool. A lot of times, the way we say things, I said this during the review, if you listen close enough, even when people are barking and they're saying things below the belt, they still show their hands. Mm-hmm. They still say what is truly in their heart. We just don't always say it correctly. Yes. It doesn't always come out right. So sometimes I'm teaching myself to try to hear the message in what you're not saying.
Yes.
That's often what it is.
Yes.
You say a whole bunch, but what you're not saying is actually what you're trying to say.
Right.
So him saying that, I recognize. So I said to him, so what you really want to say is, this is our only day to be together and I want to spend it with you. And I feel like you're going to want to spend it. You're going to go out and you're going to spend it with Angel. I want to spend that time with you. And he immediately was kind of like,
fine. Because what happens is still.
But also you are correct.
Still my knee jerk reaction here and knowing me, I know you done bust her in the back of the head.
I was trying to move my hand and then I caught her with an uppercut.
You know, her curls were sitting just so. And then knocked it about. So I said, you know what? What I still not second nature, still growing, still learning. What is harder for me to say is I was really looking forward to Sunday. We had to work on Thursday night. We had to work on Friday. We had to work all day Saturday. We're going to have to work part of Sunday. I was looking forward to spending Valentine's Day with you not working. It makes me feel like I'm not important when right. you choose to, like, it's, I mean, Angel's a big girl, but like when you choose the one day, because mind you, when this is over, we go back to home on Monday, it's back to working pretty much every day, right? When you choose to go to Angel's shoot where you're not absolutely necessary, then it makes me feel like you don't value the time I've tried to set aside for us to keep ourselves together.
Right.
And you put your friends ahead of me. That is not second nature for me to communicate.
And that's a lot of vulnerability.
It's a lot. It's hard for me, the way I was raised and how I interpreted strength and flexibility, you know, still silk and all that. it's hard for me to say, dang girl, I want you, I want to be Little Spoon. We were supposed to be watching movies and I thought we was going to watch Tenet and order pizza. And I wanted to wiggle my toes with you. And now you want to go be with your homegirl? You could be with her on another set. Be with her on Monday. Don't take my time. But it's hard. So now when she heard no, because that could have taken, what was love trying to be conveyed could have turned into an argument.
Absolutely.
Because had I said...
And that's what happens.
Yes.
All the time.
Now you're fussing when you really wanted, would have been more dog or romantic to say, dang, girl, I actually was looking forward to spending that time with you. I would like to keep that part. I was looking forward. That comes across better than, dang, girl, you always want to go over Angel and them house and you helping Danny and all this and that.
And now I'm triggered and defensive. So I'm going to say, well, dang, yesterday you was with your friends and you was on the phone. No, now we talking about that.
She ain't going to say this. She going to say, in 1998, I asked you to be with me and you went and you was hooping with Atten there. 2003, June 16th, I said, I want to do this. You said, I'm going to watch the game. So now you want to spend time with me.
I'm in full agreement. I'm about to start agreeing with my whole body. So, yeah, pull that thing from way back in the history. But that's what happens, and then your court is next to you.
Yep.
And now it ain't even about your feelings anymore. Y'all arguing about the argument that was about the argument that was about the argument, and nothing gets solved.
But that thing you wanted to say last week, but you were holding it in because you were in a good place. But now it's all coming out.
Yeah, it's easier for people to say uncomfortable things when they're already angry, because it makes you feel like you have the license, or when you're already hurt. Or sometimes when you're hurt, like I know you say that's a lot to say, and I'm not oriented that way because of the way I grew up. But like, let's be clear, this is not specifically a male issue. Like,
no. Yeah, I'm Kevin, Melissa is me. And it was the genders were reversed.
Yeah, and sometimes that's a lot to say in a moment where you're hurt and you're angry, and then you're kind of embarrassed. Like, well, if I say this, how's she gonna look at me? She gonna think this? And now you're in your head, and I mean, like before the conversation.
My bad for interrupting you. I'm working on it. Magnify that by now, Melissa. To her credit, and I love her for this. And it sounds like Noemi is similar, but I don't want to talk for you. Imagine if I had been vulnerable and she used it against me.
Right.
Now I'm like, I can never be that with you. Because that last time I said that, you was like, oh, you little crybaby, you want to be with me on Valentine's Day? You a mark. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh.
Never make that mistake again. But even if she had it, a lot of times a previous partner made you feel that way. And now your body remembers, the last time I did that, X, Y, and Z person made me feel this way. I'll never do that again. Because it's human nature to want to protect yourself. Absolutely. And your heart is part of yourself. It's the instinctual human nature is survival, which means find safety and shelter. I'm not going to go out and do that. But now you're holding this person accountable for somebody else's prior mistake or prior way you made me feel. We was watching The Bachelor. I'm going to let y'all talk because I talked a lot. We was watching The Bachelor yesterday, which somehow we got into the show all the way.
It's the worst best TV.
Worst best. This girl, Piper, had put herself out there, right? And she was reluctant. I don't really put myself out there. I don't really do that. You know what I'm saying? Like, that ain't really me. She put herself out there and she got sent home without a rose. She got in the car. She was like, and that's what I get for putting myself out there. And in my mind, I said, them next three men going to pay for this. It might not be The Bachelor, but them next three, I'm not gonna put myself out there. Cause last time I went full out and exposed myself on national TV, he gonna embarrass me? Bet. The next three of y'all gonna get it.
Yes.
Ain't nobody gonna put myself out. I'm not gonna be single for 12 more years because of what The Bachelor did to me for TV. Oh, them next three gonna pay for that. Woo!
That's facts. And you'll do it and you'll feel justified in doing so.
Oh, yes. Completely.
In response to that, though, my mom gave me this advice, and I fought it for a very, very long time, but she's right. She's like, when it comes to your husband, here specifically, give him the benefit of the doubt. He's the exception. Everybody else that then did this, said this, you know, did all these crazy things to you, like, that is your husband. He gets that extra life, like, just in case. You know what I mean? He says something wrong. You know what I mean? He gets that extra thought when you look at his face and it's screwed up because he know he says something real crazy, but you know he didn't mean it. So instead of going off of what he said, go off what he feels. Go off of what you know about each other. And that's hard. I still to this day deal with that. But after the fact, I'm like, yeah, that was right.
Yeah. You got to give your partner something to work off of too. Like you got to be, I'm a fan of being preemptive around like apologies and things like that. So like, hey, I don't know if it's a big deal to you, but early I said this, I didn't mean it that way. My bad, that came off wrong. Because it's more important to me that we don't have any resentment on the table. What you eating, the egg cheese sandwich?
Hey man, I was trying not to make it a big deal. I had a couple bites to hold me over. Now I've been held over. Over is gone.
It's all good, bro. Enjoy your croissant.
You done called attention to it. I done muted it. Try to get me a little nibble off camera.
That's all I hear.
You can nibble like we can't see you.
I muted the camera and everything. Listen, stall me out. So, I'll never eat on camera again. I trust you.
Hey, look, that's why I don't eat on camera.
I know I don't eat. I knew I should have had lunch.
Next four sandwiches are going to pay for that.
Y'all are ridiculous.
I want to say that your mother's advice of giving your spouse the benefit of the doubt is something I'm going to add as advice that I want to give new couples. We get all, I'm sure you guys do too, get asked this question all the time. What's the one piece of advice? And we have a couple that we always say, but I am most certainly going to add giving your partner the benefit of the doubt. I think that is so important. It helps you remember that you're on the same side.
Mm-hmm.
Team first. You forget when you fight. Yeah. You forget. What do you say about the enemy? You think the enemy is the person, but the problem is the enemy.
Right, the problem, not the person.
Mm-hmm. But when the person is causing the problem, sometimes the person looks like the enemy, and it's hard to redirect that to where it's supposed to go.
Oh, so good. So good. So freaking good. So very, very much good.
Y'all wise for 34 and 32, 31.
What did you get your degree in, Kier?
My master's?
Yeah.
So it's clinical rehabilitation and mental health counseling.
Let me remind you that it's not a bachelor's. Which one? Which degree are you referencing?
I am always
the bachelor
here.
Or the master's? No. Surely. We're going to leave with the master's. Surely it's the master's.
Absolutely.
Fair loan services, they make the distinction, and so shall I.
Exactly. And I'm always here for Black folk. Listen, give me your credentials and give me your resume, okay?
And what are you here for? Did you, Noemi, you said you were in law school. Did you finish and are you practicing legal attorney?
I am an IP and technology lawyer, and most recently, as of like last month, I joined the entertainment team. So I'll be doing entertainment law.
She got a promotion, y'all.
Congratulations!
What is an IP? Is that intellectual property lawyer?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you defend and protect, or you set up like this is ours?
So right now, I am doing more transactional stuff, so more contracts, more research, more writing. I'm not going to represent anybody in no court.
Black lawyers, man. Black people in general, greater than sign.
Correct.
Black lawyers, 2 greater than signs. Black women lawyers, 3 greater than signs.
Here for it.
I admire anybody that finished law school because that's a hot 3 after undergrad.
Barely.
Plus the bar.
I still have
Snickers bar, I know.
What you just say?
Snickers bar? I know. That was me. That was my law school. I want to study candy.
Let me say something. I have to say this. Kev, I hate you. And I'm going to tell you why. I hate you for the dad jokes. And Instagram, I got y'all. I hate you because you say the dad joke and I laugh every time and I get mad at myself for laughing. Every single time. I hate you, man. I had to get that off. I love you, though.
That's how everybody feel. Why you make me laugh at a stupid thing? It's because the way you laugh. Man. You remind me I need to post one too. I haven't posted one in a while.
That's
you see? No. See what you done.
That's that kid. What about homework? You ain't give us none. My bad.
Okay, so I think that this has been a freaking phenomenal conversation. Noemi, I need to have you back on like a woman's conversation. And I've been
I need to have you back on a man's.
Yeah, man, let's talk about it. Come on,
I hate you.
Why are you getting into a muffin?
Yeah, he turns on the couch.
He was on Sesame Street. Can I tell you how to get?
Oh my
This is what the problem.
For the people that may not currently know who you are, there are people on our Patreon that, which is like so surprising because I feel like you guys are like closing in on a million on Instagram or something ridiculous, if not over that.
Nah.
Not nowhere close.
Are you not? 273 is, that's a lot. You're
closing
in
on a million?
Yeah, that's
you
a lot.
You just got only 700,000 left.
That's a lot of numbers.
I'm almost there.
Huh?
Nah, I said, oh, that's it. I'm almost there. 700,000.
Can you tell the people where to find you on Instagram? Obviously, plug your YouTube as well, and anything else that you guys have coming up or want folks to know about. Do you guys? You guys don't have a pod like a traditional podcast, but you have like your YouTube kind of podcast.
Working on it.
Oh,
and all the equipment. All the equipment finally came in. So, yeah.
We got a lot. Okay, let's do the socials and then we'll.
All right. So the socials. For my Love Hour podcast people, my Instagram is Kier and Them, K-I-E-R and Them, and the YouTube is the same.
Yep, and mine is Noemi Gaines, N-O-E-M-I-E, G-A-I-N-E-S. So first piece of news is our YouTube name will be changing.
Oh.
So eventually it'll be Kier and Noemi, so we'll be putting in some more like him-focused content, me-focused content. Our baby Emery, our 3-year-old, she'll probably find her way on there anyway.
Listen, like, she be ever well.
Man, listen, she
so cute.
She's an adult, man.
Yeah. I'm afraid to put her out there because she's a mess.
I love her. She has so much personality in this little bitty body.
All the time. It's not just for the camera. Who she is at her core.
She's my baby.
What?
But we usually post a lot of, I post a lot of mental health content, a lot of helpful tips, a lot of self growth, personal development. Our YouTube is kind of similar. We do a sit down talk where we unpack all of these issues.
Just like we did today.
Things that people are kind of afraid to lean into. Mm-hmm. And Noemi just posts like this amazing, real content that can span anywhere from what she's cooking to her thoughts on motherhood, and it's always really insightful. So give us a follow, I promise you.
Yeah, for sure.
Is Booby your daughter?
Booby the
We call her. We have a lot of.
We got not a name. Booby E, but her name is Emery.
Yeah.
Black people are gonna give you a nickname or three.
Especially one that don't sound nothing like your name.
Oh my God, your daughter named Jane. We're gonna call you McMichael.
Yeah, I got an Uncle Bubby, and his name is Russell. Like, what?
Boy, aunt, his dad called him Johnny.
He does.
Like, why though? Hey, Johnny, it stuck.
Wait, his dad got a lot of kids, and like, couldn't remember the kid name.
That's no,
what no. It's just two of them. Kids.
He just called his son Johnny.
He just decided that. That's it. I was going to say that, I know what I was going to say. You guys are UTA mates.
We are.
Yeah. So our management company is owned by the same management company that Kev is on. And actually, I reached out to you at first. I reached out to you, like maybe five or six people when everything started blowing up. I was like, hey, bro, these people from Hollywood in my inbox talking about representing me. I don't know these folks. Like, what should I do? And Kev, I always credit you, man. You gave me some really sound advice. Pointed me in some really good direction, and Black Hollywood in general really responded positively.
Yeah.
Lena Waithe reached out and embraced. Auntie Tab reached out and embraced. Jill Scott. Like, just it was great to have good people around pointing me in the right direction. So I really do appreciate
you for that. Of course, man. I just would give you the help I wish I had. I remember when they was hitting me up for Zay Zay, and I was like, I don't trust none of y'all. You want to take me?
Yeah.
I don't trust nobody.
Yeah. That's where I was with it. But
we learned much better spot. Now because of this. So thank you for me as well.
Thank you. I love it. Well, listen, thank you guys so much for joining us today on today's Love episode of The Love Hour. My tongue is twisted up. This was a fantastic conversation. I hope you guys enjoyed it. We most certainly did. Please make sure that you follow Kier and Noemi on Instagram and on the YouTubes and any of their upcoming events that they have. Until the next video, bye.